Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Great to see you all here. Very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us today. If you live in the area and you're looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. You speak to me, and we'll make sure that happens soon. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at His table today. Tomorrow evening, we will have our Christmas Eve candlelight services. We have services at 7 o'clock and 11 o'clock for those of you who are night owls. Both of those services will, of course, include the Sacrament of Holy Communion as well. So do come and join us and bring your family and friends with you as well. And then remember that next Sunday is the fifth Sunday in the month, so we will have one service at 10 o'clock, and that service will be a traditional service of lessons and carols. 10 o'clock next Sunday. Linda, you wanted to talk about the spiritual memoir class.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to encourage you to attend this class that's advertised in the bulletin this morning. It's the spiritual memoir class. I've taken this writing class from Larry.
Help Leonard's.
Me. Leonard's.
Leonard's.
Leonard's. It's spelled, it's an unusual spelling. I've
Whether that's right or not, that's what we're saying.
Okay. he teaches by giving a prompt, and then the class is supposed to quietly think back in their memories of what that prompt means. He used music in our class, and so we had some old folk tunes that he would play. He'd give us the words so we could read the words along, and suddenly we were in yesteryear thinking of things that happened in our lives during that period of time. I tried this with Pete last Sunday, and I just said, we're doing a class, Pete. Will you join us? And he said, well, what is it? So I said, think, just be quiet for a minute and think back to when you first heard the words to the song, Jesus Loves Me. And he got real quiet, thought for a few minutes, and all of a sudden this twinkle came to his eye and he was smiling from ear to ear. So I said, well, what are you thinking? And he said, I was in a Sunday school pageant way back when, and that's where I remember that song. We sang it over and over. And he just was wiggly. He was so excited about thinking about something that he hasn't thought about in years, probably. So in the class, you're asked to write for 10 minutes without stopping. So you put your pencil on your paper, and you write and write and write. No edits for spelling and no edits for grammar. So the thoughts are just getting down on paper, and they just flow. It's relaxing. It's really fun. And we just have two of those 10-minute sessions in our two-hour class. He gives us ideas about how to write short stories and prompts as along the way. So please join us. I have my slip of paper. I can sign you up today, or Raynette can sign you up during the week. Thanks.
It's going to start on January 6th.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
And it's going to be from 1:30 to 3:30.
On Sunday afternoon,
right
in the narthex, we'll be at round tables, so we'll be visiting with other people at the table as we do the exercises.
Thank you. Any other announcements this morning? If not, please stand for the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.
I will hear what the Lord God has to say.
A voice that speaks for peace.
Peace for all faithful people and those who turn to him in their hearts. God's help is near to those who fear him,
that his glory may dwell in our land.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.
Today we complete the circle by lighting all four of our Advent candles, and we sing all four verses of the song, The Advent Candles.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the Lord of Israel, who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior, who comes to show mercy and grace, the dawn from on high, who guides us into peace.
Amen.
Let us come before God in confession. To you, O God, we lift up our souls.
You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you.
Remember not our sins, but remember us with your steadfast love.
Show us your ways, teach us your paths, and lead us in justice and truth for the sake of your goodness, in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
In the advent of Christ, the dawn from on high breaks upon us with light and healing. Through Jesus Christ, God looks with favor upon you and forgives you all your sins. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Our hymn of hope this morning is verses 1 through 4, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, number 257. Good morning. How are you today? You doing good today? Kind of early, isn't it? So we have Bree and Cole, who are friends of Willow's, and thank you for being here today. These people don't get a children's sermon very often, and I know they're happy when they do. So,
yes.
Christmas is almost here, right? Almost here, just a couple of days away. What's your favorite part of Christmas? What's your very, very favorite part of Christmas?
The presents.
The presents? I thought somebody might say that. How about you, same thing? Yeah, presents are pretty special. So I was thinking about presents this week because I was flipping through the channels and this week and I saw a movie that I hadn't seen for a while, so I watched a bit of it called The Sound of Music. You know that song? Or you know that movie? In that movie, the woman sings a song about some of her favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things. Remember that song? One of them, she said, was a brown paper package tied up with strings. So I was thinking about that. If you got up on Christmas morning and there were all these big, beautiful presents with fancy wrapping and bows, and then there was this with your name on it, which one do you think you would open first? The big fancy one or this little plain one? Probably the big fancy one. I would too. I would too. And that kind of reminds me of Jesus' birth, because Jesus is the Son of God, the King of the world, the Lord of our life, and yet when he came, it wasn't a very fancy start, was it? He was born in a little bitty town in the middle of nowhere called Bethlehem. His mom was a teenage girl. His earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and they were very, very poor. Almost nobody in the whole wide world even noticed that it happened. A very plain beginning. And sometimes we get all caught up in the flashiness of the world and we forget that Jesus came in a very humble, humble way to be our Savior and our Lord. So I want to say to you today, the beautiful packages are wonderful. The Christmas lights are great. But let's remember that the reason for the season is that little one born in Bethlehem, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending your Son in a very humble way to be our Savior and our Lord. Help us in this very special season to remember your gift to us, that babe born in Bethlehem who grew up to be our Savior and our Lord. Help us to treasure that story and help us to treasure that gift and to share the good news of it with all our friends, that they can come and join us in worshiping you too. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. The early risers. Thank you.
first lesson is from Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 to 5a. The prophet Micah, having pronounced judgment upon Judah, speaks of a future shepherd king who, like David, will come from the small town of Bethlehem. Ephrathah refers to the area around Bethlehem. This king will restore Israel and bring peace. New Testament writers understood this passage to be referring to Jesus. Hear now the word. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
And I apologize because the melody you're hearing is my cell phone. And since I am not sitting next to it, I can't turn it off, but it will stop. At least it is that. The words to Psalm 80 you will find on page 3 of your bulletin. And we will read responsively the verses 1 to 7. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will your anger fume when your people pray?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Our second lesson is from Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 to 10. The author of Hebrews uses the image of religious sacrifice to convey the significance of Christ's coming. Through obedient acceptance of God's will, Christ allows his own body to become the greatest sacrifice of all, one through which we are made a holy people. Hear now the word. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to you to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Those words, one of the most famous and widely used forms of Roman Catholic devotion, are no doubt familiar even to you Protestants. I can remember the first time I heard them. I think I was about 9 or 10 years old and was visiting my cousins, who were going through a very brief period of being devout Catholics. One day, as we were playing, my aunt and uncle scooped up my cousins and took them off to something they called confession. And when my cousins returned home, I found them in their room reciting these words, no doubt as punishment for an offense or two that they had committed. Hail Mary, full of grace. I confess that I really didn't know what to make of those words back then, and in some ways I still don't. As a child raised in the Lutheran Church, I never heard much about Mary. We simply didn't focus much of our attention on her. And I suppose that even today, some of you here might be surprised to hear a sermon on those words from a Lutheran pastor. For we children of the Protestant Reformation simply do not quite know what to do with Mary. But while we might not be certain just what to do with her, I think that question is wrongly put. For it's not so much what we do with Mary that counts. It's what God does with her that is important. It's what God does with Mary that is of primary significance for us as we prepare our hearts and our minds to celebrate Christmas. One day, out of the blue, an angel of the Lord appeared to this young girl and said to her, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, it is clear from Luke's story that this angelic visitor was neither anticipated nor particularly welcomed, for he writes, "But Mary was greatly troubled at this saying and wondered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be." So troubled was Mary, in fact, that the angel quickly tried to reassure her, saying, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, it's not an easy thing to be confronted with a message from God. We may pray that God will hear our prayers and draw near to us, but even as we do so, I think most of us hope and pray that God will somehow answer our prayers but still remain at a safe distance from us. Whenever God decides to draw very near, it always produces in we human folk a considerable amount of surprise and fear. It was the same way with Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. They all found themselves surprised by the call of God and in some ways annoyed, both at their unworthiness and also at the inconvenience of it all. Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Mary, especially Mary. They had other things to do, important things. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, the local carpenter. She had a wedding to plan, preparations to make. And so this angelic visitor, I think, was a rather unwelcome intrusion into the routine of her life. Yes, Mary was deeply troubled, but she hadn't heard anything yet. The angel went on with news that must have made her head spin and her knees grow weak. You, Mary, will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son whom you will name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary's reaction of fear and puzzlement now escalates. How can this be? She cries. Mary is a practical and respectable girl. Though she is very young, she knows the facts of life. She knows her limitations. She knows what can and cannot be done. She knows that even in Nazareth, storks do not deliver babies, and that in order for B to happen, A must come first, if you know what I mean. And so in great wonder, she says to the angel, how? How can this be? I am still a virgin. How can such a thing be possible? At this, I think the angel must have chuckled a little bit, for he had seen many times what God was able to do. But for poor Mary, some words of explanation were in order. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. In this little speech by the angel, Mary is reminded that her limitations are not God's limitations. To doubt yourself is one thing, but to doubt God, well, that's quite another. For the same God who touched the aged and barren Sarah and brought forth the child of promise, Isaac, the same God who touched Mary's kinswoman, Elizabeth, and brought forth a son named John, this God will now touch Mary, for as the angel said, nothing will be impossible for God. And then there comes a dramatic pause in the story, a pregnant pause, if you will. The facts have all been laid out. The call has been issued. The promise given. Now all that remains is this. What will Mary say? What will Mary do? How will Mary respond? And I think the whole universe stopped in its tracks and held its breath, waiting to hear the answer. Luke puts it very simply. Then Mary said, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the universe clapped its hands for joy. In a Christmas sermon written over 450 years ago by Martin Luther, he wrote that on that first Christmas, three great miracles occurred. First, that God should take on human flesh in this child. Second, that a virgin could be a mother. And third, that Mary would have such faith to believe that this holy mystery would be accomplished through her. And for Luther, it was the last of these three that was the greatest miracle of all. He wrote, the virgin birth is a mere trifle for God. That God should become man is a greater miracle. But most amazing of all is that this young maiden would believe that she had been chosen to be the mother of God. Mary believed, and Mary submitted herself to the will of her God. Despite the shame and the humiliation that she would incur, she offered herself to fulfill a purpose that was greater than herself. And through her, every human life on this planet has been blessed. But today I want to make two points about Mary that are very significant for us, even we Protestant Christians who are separated from this story by some 2,000 years. The first point is this. Mary was not chosen by God because she was blessed. She was not chosen because she contained some special grace or quality that other young girls didn't. In other words, she was not chosen by God because she was somehow different from the rest of us. No, Mary became blessed. Mary became full of grace because God chose her. God's choice comes first. And where God chooses, grace surely follows. God does not choose people to fulfill his holy purposes because we are worthy of the calling, or because we are somehow good enough to do what God wishes us to do. Instead, God chooses for reasons known only to God. And it is that choice which brings with it the favor and the grace. If you look closely, you can find examples of this everywhere in the Bible. Throughout that story of God and his people, we see God choosing people who, from a human perspective, might seem unfit for the calling. Abraham and Sarah were nobodies, living in a nowhere land and worshiping other gods when God came and tapped them on the shoulder. They were far too old to bear children and start a new nation, but God chose them to do so anyway. Moses was a murderer on the lamb from the law when God came to him in the burning bush and chose him to lead his people out of Egypt. And David was the runt of Jesse's litter of sons, yet God came and chose him to be the king. And he was a failed king, a murderer and an adulterer, when God came and promised that from his line a savior would come. Throughout the scriptural record, the point is made that it is God's power, not ours, that makes things work out. It is the power of our God to make something out of nothing. It is the power of our God who takes a nobody and makes him or her somebody. It was the power and grace of God that came to Mary, and it was his power and his grace that made her sufficient to be the mother of our Lord. And the same thing could be said of each of us. The same God who came to Mary and who touched her with grace and a calling has also come to each of us. In word and sacrament, our God has touched your life and mine. He has called each of us by name and conferred his grace upon us and given us a calling to fulfill. Just as God touched Mary and called her to bear his only son into this world, so too has he touched us and called us to be Christ bearers for our own world. Through our words and our deeds, through our lives of servanthood and love, we are called to proclaim the good news that God has come into this world full of grace and truth, and that in his coming we have all received the gifts of forgiveness and healing and life. The second point I want to make about Mary is this. After Mary had been touched by God, after she had been called by God, she submitted herself to God's holy will and became his obedient servant in this world despite the cost. Because of that, she is a fitting role model for us to follow. Mary heard the word of God, and she believed. She believed that it was through the power of God that God could do what seemed impossible, even through one such as her. Mary opened herself to the will of her God, and she then began to discover how God could and would use her in the fulfillment of his divine plan for this broken world. And today I believe that God has great and wondrous plans for us, his people, as well. Our God is still working his design of grace and life in this world, and now he calls each of us to take our place in the unveiling of that miracle of love. And so I urge you to listen for the voice of your God, for he is with you. And when you hear him calling, I pray that despite the busyness and the preoccupations that fill your lives in this holy season, and despite the cost that such a holy calling always brings with it, that you will respond like Mary and say, "Here am I, the servant of my Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And when we do, we too will experience the promise brought by the angel, "Nothing, nothing is impossible for our God." Amen. Please stand as we sing together number 251.